If you've experienced a loss of motivation, energy, or sex drive, or if you're noticing that you're a little softer around the middle than you used to be, it could be your testosterone levels have dropped. By the time men reach the age of 30, in most cases, their T levels have started to decline, and low T can lead to a loss of muscle mass, depression, lack of energy, and a low sex drive. The good news is now you have your remedy with Test X9. This stuff is the real deal, guys. This formula has 9 clinically proven ingredients to naturally boost your body's own testosterone production. Experience increases in strength, energy, and sex drive, as well as improved mood and well-being. Feedback has been awesome. Guys in their 30s and 40s have reported waking up with the quote-unquote morning wood for the first time since they were teenagers. If you want to take it to the next level, you can maximize your results with the Ultimate Test Stack, which combines the Test X9 with the T-Assist, an estrogen control and liver support blend, and Recovery PM, an amazing sleep aid that has had incredible feedback for helping people to get the best sleep they've ever had without feeling groggy that next day. You'll be amazed with the effect of raising your T levels and improving your sleep will have on your overall performance and well-being. Don't settle for average. Man up at LegacySupps.com. That is LegacySupps.com. And use the promo code Sullivan for an additional 10% off your entire order. That's LegacySupps.com. And use that promo code Sullivan for 10% off your entire order for the best health and workout supplements out there. This is Pro Wrestler approved. College football fans, are you ready for week one? DraftKings Sportsbook is hooking you up with a can't-miss offer to start the season strong. This week, new customers can bet just $5 on college football and score $200 in bonus bets instantly. Anything can happen in college football. That's right. Your team could go from unranked to dynasty mode in just a couple of years. Change comes fast. The only thing that's a lock is great offers from the DraftKings Sportsbook. Life's more fun when you're in on the action. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the code TASKMASTER, all lowercase. New customers can score $200 in bonus bets instantly when they bet just $5 on college football. Only DraftKings Sportsbook is the way to go, and use that promo code TASKMASTER, then the crown is yours. That's right. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use that promo code TASKMASTER. Own it, live it, win the crown.
We love the 1980s wrestling era when kayfabe was king and wrestling did whatever it took to protect the business. When all the territories dealt with the rise of the WWF and the NWA emerged as its greatest challenger. Imagine if there were an epic drama series based on that era, combining the corporate warfare and family drama of Succession with the giant cast and epic storytelling of Game of Thrones. That day has come. Kings of the Ring is the first audio drama podcast based on wrestling.
Go back to your trailer, you hillbilly.
It's a fiction series about the 1980s wrestling wars and the sex, drugs, and muscles lifestyle of the 80s wrestler and the sacrifices they make for success. With guest voice acting appearances by Lanny Poffo.
I even have a good dropkick.
And AEW's RJ City.
I didn't really have that much to do.
Search Kings of the Ring from any podcast app or kingsotr.com and binge away.
and welcome to Taskmaster Talks with Kevin Sullivan. I'm your host, JP John Paz. With me today, the star of the show, the former WCW and ECW World Tag Team Champion, one of the greatest minds and bookers ever in the history of the business, the Games Master, the Taskmaster, Devil himself, Mr. Kevin Sullivan. Kevin, how are you doing today, sir?
Very good, JP. Thank you very much.
What is going on in your world? I know you're booking again a little bit, right, in Florida?
No, I'm not booking. I just made some appearances for CCW. Very nice group of guys. They got something good going. They run about 8 to 10 times a month. So they got a nice little place going.
Wow, that's a lot, especially nowadays.
Yeah. They're doing very, very good.
They didn't want you to book, or what's going on with that?
No, I mean, I just do some commentary for them once in a while. It's not a full-time gig. And they're very good at what they're doing.
I feel like Florida, you booking, I don't know, it kind of goes hand in hand.
Yeah, but hey, it's a different time. And I don't want to be there all the time because I'm not here all the time either.
Yeah, if you're booking that many times a month or they're booking shows that many times a month, usually nowadays, once a month, maybe twice.
Yeah, they run a lot of double shots, a Saturday, Friday, and Saturday. Sometimes they run three.
Who's the guy behind? Is that Gangrel?
Well, sure. Gangrel is the head trainer. They got a very nice gym, and he's fabulous. And they got a good rapport. Nelio is one of the owners. Dan's the other one. And they get along very well. I think they've been running for like 19 years. But they just picked up the pace the last 4 years.
Wow. Picking up down there in Florida. Nice.
Yeah. I'm glad for them.
So today, the topic at hand we want to talk about was Mr. Eric Bischoff. He's got a new book out now called Grateful. And I know not that long ago on 83 Weeks, his own podcast, he was actually talking about you. I don't know if you got the chance to hear, but we want to talk about Eric Bischoff. Did you happen to catch him talking about you?
No, I didn't. And I usually listen to it, but I was gone that week traveling.
He had some nice things to say. I was surprised he had some nice things to say. But I know he's been on this show before and you guys got along great. So obviously, good relationship nowadays with Eric.
Yeah, and I always had a good relationship with Eric. Eric was very good to me. I got to give a lot of credit to Eric. He came in and everybody else that tried that thought they knew what they're doing failed. Eric succeeded in a big way. And what Eric had going for him was, you know, we always talk about patents. Eric didn't have that track in his head. This works because it worked 10 years ago. This worked because it worked 15 years ago. He was fresh. He was innovative. He could judge talent 90% of the time. Very smart, handled a job that was probably harder than anybody's job in the wrestling business, the dealing with the North Tower, and keeping them away as long as he did. He did a brilliant job there. Brilliant job with the negotiations with Japan. Think about it. We got $1 million a year, and our guys got paid by the Japanese when they went over there and their salary. And when the Japanese came to us, New Japan paid their salary. So Eric's a great negotiator, obviously.
When did you actually first meet Eric?
I first met Eric. Was it a pay-per-view at Daytona with Shockmaster?
Oh, that Clash of the Champions, yeah.
He called me the next day, and I lived in Daytona. He invited me for breakfast, and I talked with him.
Do you know why he was calling you?
Oh, yeah, he talked about ideas. And then he asked me, would I like to come? And I said, yeah, but I have a Japanese deal I can't give up right now. So I think about 3 months later or 4 months later, after I finished my Japanese deal, I went.
Is it FMW?
Yeah.
So I guess as the story goes, Dusty had told him to call you because he said, I need guys that know heat, guys that they actually know what they're doing, have good booking philosophy. So it looks like Dusty had recommended you to him.
That's nice of Dusty.
Oh, I didn't know that you weren't aware of that. Yeah, it was Dusty that told him to call you.
I thought Flair was, but I'm glad to hear it was Dusty.
Yeah, Eric had said that. Dusty was basically telling him, like, hey, you need guys that know what they're doing around here. The guys that were here before, they got, the Watts and the different guys, they got us into some trouble. When you first met Eric, what was, like, your first impressions? Are you like, wow, this is a young kid, or what did you think?
I thought he was really energetic. I thought he was very bright, and he caught on very quickly.
Did you know his background in the AWA?
Yeah, I did.
What did you think about that? So, because it's almost like, wow, he was in the AWA. He's working behind the scenes. At first, he was just a salesman. And the way he got in to become an announcer was basically he was trying to sell the Ninja Star Wars. He's doing some sales. I know guys like to joke around. He's working on the food truck. Stupid jokes like that, or he's getting coffee. But what did you think, though? It's almost like a huge leap from where he was in AWA as an announcer and backstage to where he was in WCW.
It was a huge jump.
So you think that gives Eric the advantage, like, of where he came from in AWA?
Yes, he saw good, solid stuff. He saw how Hogan blew that place apart.
With AWA, you think like that's basically a leg up, the learning curve, if you will.
Yeah, it was a very successful territory. And I think Eric saw the mistakes they made on their demise, saw how an unbelievable draw that Hogan was. But he also saw Mean Gene and the host of guys we just mentioned.
So he would also be with AWA when he was working behind the scenes. He would also do like some syndication. He was doing other stuff behind the scenes to kind of develop his knowledge or get more acquainted with wrestling business. I know people see him in front of the camera and they think that was it, but he apparently was helping editing and doing a bunch of other things behind the scenes to learn the business more.
Yeah, Eric was a go-getter. I mean, he's been successful at almost everything he tried.
He also had a tryout for WWF, which is funny. That was available, I think, on his DVD. And he basically is trying to sell you a broom. And it's funny to see him in 1990, whatever it was, at a tryout for WWF of all places.
Yeah, and I think they did that just to give him the needle, don't you?
I was thinking that too, but apparently a bunch of other people were saying the same thing. Like sometimes Vince will hand you a pen and you have to sell the pen. Like a lot of weird, like old school selling tactics, but you're an announcer. And then he's like, well, you're also a salesperson if you're an announcer, pal. So I don't know. I was thinking they were needling him, but I'm not sure.
Maybe not. The pen, isn't that Wolf of Wall Street?
Yes, I think so, right? Didn't they do the same thing?
Yeah, sell this pen. You know who gave the pen to, don't you?
No, who?
The guy that was the Wolf of Wall Street, the real guy.
Ah, okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
So when 91 rolls around, of course, AWA is done. Bischoff goes to WCW. Supposedly Greg Gagne gave him a little check mark on the resume to kind of help him get there, but he's only a C-show announcer at that point, really working for Schiavone and kind of working behind Jim Ross.
I thought he was a great-looking announcer. Eric had that black hair, like a male model's body. He had this great smile, and he wanted to learn. Some people just have that it quality, and he knew how to get it.
When he does get the position, basically he becomes the executive producer first. So technically he's not really in charge of anything but the TV end. When he gets that position over Jim Ross and Schiavone, do you think there was a lot of heat there?
I'm sure there was.
Why do you think they went with him over those two? Is it that what you were kind of saying before, that they don't want to fall in the pattern of the wrestling guys?
I may be wrong, but I think you hit upon it. I think that when Watts was there, he was so outlandish. You heard about him pissing off the balcony, carrying a gun, the Hank Aaron fiasco. I think they thought, whoa, this guy isn't tainted yet. And he doesn't carry himself as a wrestler. Now, this isn't a knock to Schiavone or Jim, but they might have said, oh, these guys been around and maybe they're tainted. And they weren't, far from it. But he was the fresh face. And he had no sins on his report card yet. So they probably said, we need not to get back into this position and have a fiasco with a wrestling person.
That's the old rumor that JR and Watts were too closely associated, so there was no way he was getting the job after Watts because they thought they were just going to get another Watts, even though they wouldn't have.
You're exactly right. JR learned a lot from Bill, but he's much more diplomatic and a better politician than Bill was. But like you said, when they saw Bill Watts, usually he was with Jim or Jim was with Bill. So they probably said, now it's a chip off the old block. We don't need that.
When you get brought in and he's there, are you seeing that there's an issue with like Bill Shaw, the president, Bob Dew, who's like the vice president? Was there problems with those guys at all? Or were they dead set on Eric being the guy and letting him make the decisions?
I believe they were dead set on making Eric the man.
Did you have any sort of relationship with Bob Dew?
Just to say hello.
He never interfered in WCW, really?
No.
What about Bill Shaw? Any relationship with Bill?
Yeah, I had a good relationship with Bill, but Bill at that time also was handling all of Ted's properties around the United States. So his plate was full. And I think he was just glad to have somebody fresh in there that looked like a businessman, knew TV, and could talk their language. It wasn't abrasive like the rest of the wrestlers.
When you look at Bischoff in 94, I mean, he's kind of coming into his own, but he goes from essentially the executive producer, which means all the TV end. Then he becomes the senior vice president and the executive vice president. So that means now he's in charge of all of WCW. Is that a big shift? Because it seems like a lot more responsibility than just in charge of the TV end. Now you're in charge of the whole company.
He was almost in charge as soon as it took over. I think he had to run some figures by the North Tower to get things approved at first, but then they took him at his word.
When he does take over, he makes a big move with Disney MGM Studios in Orlando, Florida, basically saying, guys, every time we go out on the road, we lose money. And the guys before him were saying, no, you should go on the road more often. He said, no, we need to do the home base. What did you think about that move?
Oh, it was great for the guys. It was great for everybody. You go to the same place every day. You're out at the same time about. And you're staying in a nice hotel and you're in Florida.
The thing is, to me, it's like, wow, you're really getting a different perspective, a different look on things. Because no old school wrestling guard would have said like, oh, Disney MGM, that's a good relationship. Like, I don't think they would have thought of it. I think they would have just continued on losing money, doing all these shows everywhere else.
I think you're right. Let's go to Watts. He would have been demanding. Ole might have said the wrong thing. Showed his ass. And I don't know if anybody else could have closed the deal but Eric. He looked the part. He looked like a TV executive. He knew how to handle himself with him. They made the right decision. That was the guy to put out front.
That Scott Hall used to always call him Ken Doll lookalike.
Yeah.
So the thing is, WCW is going to make a great move there with Disney MGM. Having that brand next to their brand makes it look good. So then, to put it over the top, you need another top brand, and that brand is just one guy, but his brand is Hulk Hogan. How does that all come about? How does the Hulkster, and do you play a role in bringing in Hulk?
No, I didn't. This is when Hogan was doing the Thunder in Paradise. And I think Eric went over to see him on a set because he came over the dressing room one day. That was Eric saying in his head, I know what he did in AWA. I know what he did in WWF. Why can't he do it here? And let's face it, we did take off when Hogan came.
Big time.
Yeah. And we made national press with that. Kind of turned the tide a little bit.
And usually the guys that are the disc jockeys and the guys on the radio, the sports radio guys, they would always have the papers with them. And then they would open it up and say, oh, WCW's in town or whatever. Like it would just, it helped it along just a little bit more.
Yes, it did. And I think Eric leaned on Hogan, too, to get the contacts of the local TV stations to get him on an interview, or the DJs. He had a massive reach in the entertainment business. So would have Watts have done that? Probably not.
And even as a fan, I remember back then, I loved WCW before Hogan, but once he got in, it's like, wow, they're the number one game in town, just mentally thinking that because he's the biggest star of all time. So once you have that, and I'm saying that, all the casual fans are thinking that too.
Yeah, absolutely.
When Hulk gets there, obviously creative control comes to part. Is Eric involved with Hulk more so than other guys because of the name, because of creative control, because of everything that comes with Hulk? Is he like basically tied to him for life kind of thing?
Yeah. There were a lot of deals done because of Hogan, and Hulk would bring them to Eric, and Eric would lead Hulk in there, lead the charge. Here you have a TV executive with Hulk Hogan. Pretty good 1-2 punch.
Yeah, and even like the action figures and all the other branding and everything and the licensing that comes with it, that's huge because he steals some stuff away from WWF, essentially. I mean, they stopped making toys for a little bit as it's on that TV show about the action figures that was on Netflix.
Yeah, it was Toys That Made Us, right?
Yes. It was almost like, wait, you don't have Hogan? They have Hogan? Oh, we're going to go wherever Hogan goes. That's where the money goes.
It was like when Brady went to the Buccaneers and they won the Super Bowl. The first year, it changed the perception.
Right. Yeah, look at them ever since. When you look at Eric, he has totally changed the perception of WCW because, look, Disney, Hogan, it's the production value. And I think a lot of people noticed the production value went up. Seemed like he was investing more into that end of it. So it just seemed like WCW was getting better in a lot of different facets. Thanks to him, and thanks to him taking it in a different direction than they've ever taken it before.
Yeah, and the other thing is, I listened to Hulk, I believe, on the production. I'm sure that they had talks about bringing the production value up, and Eric didn't back down at all. If Hogan, because he knew that Hogan knew how to draw money, and it took good production.
And in 1995, WCW turned a profit. I mean, that was the first time they've turned a profit probably ever up until that point. So that's pretty huge news because they weren't able to do that before. All of a sudden, you got a new fresh face in there. He's making the company money.
Yeah. And he added a lot of high-priced guys.
Too many high-priced guys, you think?
No, because he made money for the company for the first year.
Who is responsible for like helping him bring in Hogan and Savage and guys like that? Is that Flair?
Yeah. I would assume it would be Rick. But I think maybe Eric would say, Rick, what do you think about Hogan? I'm talking to him. Oh, he'd be great. But I think it was a match as soon as Hulk and Eric met. Hulk had gone away for a long enough time that the people really missed him. Hulk wanted to get back in the business. He saw a guy that he knew was ambitious. He knew he was a go-getter. Hulk knew he wasn't going to sit in the office and do all the work. He'll go out and make all the towns you need him to make all the appearances. So Eric took up that leg of the work to get every towns. He hired Zane Bresloff, who knew every builder in the country, along with Gary Juster. And we always talk about Hogan being the one. But I don't think that it would have gotten over like it did without Eric. And not trying to knock Hulk at all, because he's the biggest star in the history of the business. He didn't have Eric in that same role at TNA. And it didn't work like it worked at WCW. So I just think that it was the perfect timing too.
For sure. And then also you put Hulk on top of that. Then he creates Nitro. And the story was, he kind of was saying to Ted Turner, like, hey, just go head to head on Nitro. And everyone thought that was a crazy idea. Nobody would have thought of that. And it worked, obviously, for many, many years. Like 83 weeks of dominance was really 2 years plus of almost put WWF out of business. Nitro was an ingenious idea.
It beat him the first week.
Did you think Nitro was going to be that successful? Or you think, oh, this is crazy?
Things lined up. They were at their weakest point. They had gotten into some really bogus characters. And we had the biggest star in the wrestling business. And soon we're going to have a lot more. And we had Flair. We had Sting. We had Vader. We had a great crew. Ron Simmons. A host of others.
When you look at it with Bischoff beating WWF and beating Vince, obviously you're booking the show, so you get a pretty good handle on what's going on over there. Nobody else has ever beaten Vince. You know, really, his dad was the top promoter too, so you could say nobody ever beat his dad either. So it's like decades and decades of dominance. Pretty shocking that Bischoff, of all people, comes out of nowhere, so to speak. Really comes from the AWA, C-string announcer, then they put him in charge. I mean, he's the only guy ever to beat Vince. That's insane. Vince is now retired, so no one will ever beat him, period. So that's pretty insane if you look at it.
Eric didn't have the channels in his brain dug. He was fresh in the head. He would look at things and analyze them and not say, oh, well, that worked before. We'll do it again. No. Like the thing about the NWO, when he went to Japan, it's on that angle.
So what did you think, though, about the NWO? Did you think that was going to work immediately? I mean, awesome idea. Obviously, probably the greatest idea ever, if you think about it.
I remember he called me, Arn, and I think Ric Flair, and told us at the CNN Center, the balcony off his office, and told us what he was going to do. And I thought, this is ingenious. Because they just came off that TV. No one thinks they left. And it's what everybody wanted to see. WCW against WWF. And you couldn't have done it with two better guys than Kevin or Scott, because they played the role so well.
And what a crazy, awesome idea. The timing of the contracts of Hall and Nash, it just absolutely worked perfectly.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The stars lined up. What were the contracts? A week apart, right?
Yeah, about a week or two apart. Yep, pretty nuts that it was able to work out like that.
Yep.
And then obviously convincing Hogan to be the third member of the NWO and turn heel, that's what really set it off beyond belief.
Yeah.
Was Eric on board with that from the start?
Yeah, but a lot of people tried to get to Eric. But Eric saw what was happening too. A lot of people were turning their head when they were booing Hulk as a babyface. And to me, it was set off in Chicago. He came out all in black with a black bandana on, a black cross. Remember that? Whole building was booing him. And Mean Gene turned and said, you can see how solemn this building is tonight. He caught the interception, man. He ran it back for a touchdown. And I said, if they're booing them in Chicago, they're booing them in Kansas City, they're booing them in Amarillo, they're booing them in Boston. It was time. It was time.
When you look at it, okay, you got the NWO, you guys rocking and rolling. Did you think, like, holy shit, we're killing Vince? Or did you not even really pay attention to it? Because the rumor is always that Eric paid attention to that, and he lived and he loved it and he thrived on it.
Everybody knew. Tuesday, I think it was 2:30, 3:30, we got the ratings. Everybody knew as soon as those ratings came out.
Eric, did he get a little too cocky, maybe?
No, I don't think so.
Whose idea was it for Eric Bischoff to become the evil boss and lead the NWO?
I think it might have been Hogan and Kevin and Scott.
As a fan, you're like, how could they get away with some of this stuff? And then you realize, oh, because the boss is helping them get away with it the entire time. What did you think when Eric becomes Eazy-E, he becomes a part of the NWO, he becomes a character? Obviously, he wasn't an announcer before, but now he's playing a heel character on TV. Did you like that or not like that?
Well, how can you not like it? Because he fit in with those guys so good. Hogan, Nash, Paul, and then X-Pac. To me, you can never leave X-Pac out because he's the only guy in two groups that are in the Hall of Fame. And the other thing is to have Eric running his mouth, looks like $1 million, but he would be the guy that made the mistakes and get himself in trouble, but they would save him. It was perfect. He did a great job.
Man, what a great character he was. He says it, and I know a lot of other people said it too. Vince saw him playing the heel over there. He's like, I could do that. I'll bring out my McMemphis character back again. Like, everyone kind of says, like, he was the original Vince on TV playing that heel authority figure.
Yeah, I mean, think about how good Eric was at that position. They brought in the $1 million man, and Eric overcame that. And that's no disrespect to Ted, but Eric was fresh. And Teddy coming in, he didn't have the impact of those guys because he wasn't working back then. So Eric played the perfect foil, and you cannot knock what he did. I mean, it was probably the most magical time in the business because everybody was watching wrestling.
Yeah. Yep. The ratings were through the roof. It was crazy how many.
I heard a story, I don't know if it's true, but the NFL went to Vince and WCW and said they would pay them X amount of dollars if we wouldn't run Monday night during football.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
I know that they were kicking football's ass. Not anymore, obviously, but they were at one point. What do you think about him wrestling? Because obviously he had the feud with Flair, and Flair was saying how much of a heat magnet that Bischoff was. Did you like him wrestling Flair?
Yeah, because the way they got into it, they built it right. And I think there was some legitimate heat on Rick's side. And that showed with Rick. I'll show you I can still perform. And he still can because he's just at a match, but it gave Rick life.
Yep, big time. 96 and 97, where you guys were kicking ass. But 98, it starts to fall off a little bit. I know Goldberg is there and the Georgia Dome, and it obviously still had some big stars and some big moments. But the, and the Attitude Era, Austin and The Rock and Vince himself and Foley, DX, Undertaker and the crew, they start kicking ass. Was it just WWE was on the downturn and WWF was on the upswing? Like, when did the wheel start coming off for Bischoff?
Mike Tyson. Simple as that.
Obviously, Steve Austin, WrestleMania 14.
Everybody thought they were going to get into a fight. You remember the great pull-apart they had? The next day, I go and I see Kevin. I said, water's cold, huh? It's up to our knees.
When everything is going on as far as, like, they start getting all the momentum, how is Bischoff? The story is he's really kind of fed up with the North Tower at this point because, you know, AOL Time Order's coming and all these other changes and standards and practices all of a sudden is getting involved more and more. What was his demeanor like back then? Was he losing it?
No, Eric wasn't losing it, but he was frustrated. Imagine turning the company around like he did, and now people want to tell you what to do. I'm sure when he went over the North Tower, guys were giving him angles to do. You know, why don't you get a kangaroo? They should have been kissing his ass as soon as you walked in the office, keeping them jobs.
right? I mean, he was making the money 95, 96, 97, 98. Obviously, the wheels start falling off 98. Then 99, it becomes really bad. Goldberg loses at the end of 98 and the Figure Poke of Doom. I mean, all the creative decisions. But financially, you guys are losing money, losing ratings. So starting to fall off. But before then, obviously, they shouldn't have kind of messed around and touched, because you could tell he's starting to get frustrated with them.
I'm going to tell you where I think it went. Javi Schiller.
President of sports, Turner Sports.
So he comes in and he's telling Eric what to do. And I think he wanted to grab some of Eric's thunder. So when that happens, and especially when you've been doing this high level that Eric was doing it, it kind of gets into your head that who is this guy? Yeah, he's runs that North Tower, and he had the big, he was the big kahuna of everything. Who is he trying to tell me and mock me and all this shit? So I could see how Eric would get disillusioned.
And then as 99 rolls along, you guys are really starting to fall out of it. But, you know, relying on the Hogan, Savage, DDP, Sting, you know, the older guys, Piper, Nash, Flair, etc. Then the celebrities, Master P, Kiss, Megadeth, Chad Brock, Rodman comes back. I mean, it's a lot of things he's just trying to throw at the wall, but a lot of the old guys and not necessarily pushing some of the new guys. That was some of the complaints, but you could tell, and maybe he's not as focused, not as into it. Maybe he wanted to quit, but it just seemed like it wasn't the WCW that you helped him create.
Here's what's so crazy about that. Nobody was there to give him a suggestion when it was shit. As soon as he was popping fives and sixes, they all were geniuses on the other side. Come on.
So in 99, he gets fired September 10th. Then what happens is they end up bringing in Russo. Then they end up bringing him back in April to work with Russo. Then he obviously, that whole thing happens with Hogan at Bash the Beach. He kind of quits for a while. Then he's getting a group together in 2000, 2001 to buy WCW and try to take it over. And obviously they sell to Vince, but that's kind of the end of WCW and the end of your run with him and WCW. It started out, you know, good, then went great, and then kind of fell off the cliff and didn't end up to where he wanted it. But I don't know if you could put all that on him.
A lot of them went to the North Tower. They were always kind of threatening that they were going to take Nitro away. It gets frustrating when you're successful like he was and people still don't appreciate you. So I can understand.
What would you say if somebody said, hey, how was that Eric Bischoff? You know, like, what's the thought process? Like, what do you think about it?
Eric was very, very good to me, and I appreciate him. And sometimes we butted heads. I think he was a genius. I got paid a lot of money by Eric, and I really appreciate what he did for me. And he's a very, very good human being.
He is a WWE Hall of Famer, obviously. You think that's a good thing to kind of not just revel on him talking about all the things he did on TV, but getting recognized for it?
Absolutely, because there's no WCW Hall of Fame. He deserves it.
He had a lengthy run as a television producer as well. Obviously, a bunch of films. He's still working on films and TV and stuff. Not as much as he used to, but, you know, he had a bunch of good, successful shows. I know Bischoff Hervey Entertainment was successful for a while. So he did some stuff outside of wrestling.
He's doing very well. I'm glad for him. Got a very nice family, too.
What's your relationship like with him today?
Every time I see him, it's very nice, very cordial. We laugh and joke, and he's same like it was when I worked for him.
So as far as Bischoff and just looking at it, he is still kind of around the business because he'll pop up on WWE TV and even pop up on AEW TV once in a while. Probably not anymore because I know he had some issues with Tony Khan, but it's pretty cool seeing him on Turner Network after all those years.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. I'm glad to see him.
So got to mention the book, Grateful. He's got another book. He used to have a New York Times number one bestseller called Controversy Creates Cash. Obviously, that was a WWE book. But his new book, Grateful, looks like it's going to be pretty good. And it looks like it's going to be a pretty good seller as well. I don't know if you want to check that one out as well.
I sure will.
When you look at Bischoff and you look at his time in WCW, and just, although you can count his TNA stuff, you can count his awesome work as the GM of WWE when he came in and was there. He's done a lot of stuff. The WCW profits crazy. What he was able to do and change that business model and that brand and just the perception of WCW, plus the NWO, plus Nitro, plus he changed the pay-per-view model that they copied today. He created a three-hour wrestling show that Raw copied. I mean, there's so many things that he created and copied that people are forgetting. What do you think his legacy is?
He beat Vince.
So let's hit the plugs. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Two Man Power Trip. Check out the website, tmptempire.com. Follow Kevin on Instagram at Taskmaster Talks. Go to Wrestling Tees, ProWrestlingTees.com, and visit the Kevin Sullivan store. Kevin, what else you got going on?
I'm going to be in Vegas Friday. It's an all-woman show, Woman of Wrestling. And I'm going to meet with the Mayweather families involved in it. So this should be interesting.
Well, what are you doing for them?
I'm just watching the show and give my critique.
Nice. How did that all come about?
Tom Lance. I've worked with Tom on and off for a few years, and he put together an all-girl show, and he got in business with them, and they asked, is somebody you can recommend to watch the show and give us some hit pointers, and it got me.
Awesome. Wow. Good job. Nice job. Thanks, Tom. Yeah. But that's been pretty cool. The Woman of Wrestling. Nice.
Yeah.
Thank you, everybody out there, for tuning in. We'll see you right back here in a little Taskmaster Talks. Kevin Sullivan. See you next week, folks. This has been a John Paz Power Trip production in conjunction with the Two Man Power Trip of Wrestling. You could follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Two Man Power Trip. You could check us out on Facebook. You could subscribe on YouTube. You can go to patreon.com/TMPTEmpire to become a patron. And also check out the website, TMPTEmpire.com. And buy a shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com. Two Man Power Trip, where the power lies. Brother. College football fans, are you ready for week one? DraftKings Sportsbook is hooking you up with a can't-miss offer to start the season strong. This week, new customers can bet just $5 on college football and score $200 in bonus bets instantly. Anything can happen in college football. That's right. Your team could go from unranked to dynasty mode in just a couple of years. Change comes fast. The only thing that's a lock is great offers from the DraftKings Sportsbook. Life's more fun when you're in on the action. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the code TASKMASTER, all lowercase. New customers can score $200 in bonus bets instantly when they bet just $5 on college football. Only DraftKings Sportsbook is the way to go, and use that promo code TASKMASTER, then the crown is yours. That's right. download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use that promo code Taskmaster. Own it, live it, win the crown.
We love the 1980s wrestling era when kayfabe was king and wrestling did whatever it took to protect the business. When all the territories dealt with the rise of the WWF and the NWA emerged as its greatest challenger. Imagine if there were an epic drama series based on that era, combining the corporate warfare and the family drama of Succession with the giant cast and epic storytelling of Game of Thrones. That day has come. Kings of the Ring is the first audio drama podcast based on wrestling.
Go back to your trailer, you hillbilly.
It's a fiction series about the 1980s wrestling wars and the sex, drugs, and muscles lifestyle of the 80s wrestler and the sacrifices they make for success. With guest voice acting appearances by Lainey Poffo.
I even have a good dropkick.
And AEW's RJ City.
I didn't really have that much to do.
Search Kings of the Ring from any podcast app or kingsotr.com and binge away.
I think everybody that knows me and that knows my history knows that I got a tremendous break back in 1993 when a guy by the name of Bill Shaw gave me the opportunity to really lead WCW to where I thought it could be and should be. I got a tremendous break, and I owe a lot to Bill Shaw, and I owe a lot to this company, and I owe a lot to the employees.
Over the past 6 years, Eric Bischoff has become one of the most powerful, influential men in professional wrestling. He took over the reins of WCW in 1993. Over the next 2 years, the company moved into the forefront in the sport. Hulk Hogan was signed in June of 94. In October, WCW's Halloween Havoc raised money for the Muhammad Ali Foundation.
Muhammad Ali!
And in December, the Macho Man Randy Savage came aboard. However, the biggest year in WCW was yet to come. In April, Bischoff led a contingent into Pyongyang, North Korea, marking the first time any professional sporting event had been held in North Korea. Over 340,000 fans witnessed WCW at its best. September 4th, 1995, WCW Monday Nitro debuted. 1 week later, in its first head-to-head meeting with Raw, WCW won the ratings battle, a scene that would be played over and over the next couple of years. Bischoff was at the helm, not only in charge of WCW, but also as the play-by-play commentator. Then on May 27th, 1996, things began to change. Scott Hall shockingly walked onto Nitro. A few weeks later, out comes Kevin Nash, and the takeover attempt was on. Bischoff was on the front line defending WCW and suffered a horrific attack at the hands of Hall and Nash a month later at the Great American Bash. This all led to July 7th, 1996. The formation of NWO with its new leader, Hollywood Hogan.
The New World Order of Wrestling.
The closeness of Bischoff and Hogan had been apparent over the years, but no one ever expected Bischoff, WCW's leader, to side with a New World Order. October 27th, 1996. Roddy Piper signs with WCW and confronts Hogan. Less than a month later, Bischoff was exposed by Piper.
You're a liar!
This began Bischoff's reign of terror.
We are in control!
1 week later, he gave every wrestler in WCW 30 days to join the NWO.
30 days from right now, you're either with us or you're against us.
Under Bischoff, the power and influence of the NWO was great. He hosted their pay-per-view, sold out. And when things did not go the way he wanted, the very next day on Nitro, he turned things back around.
I know that you've had a tough year.
But we can't.
I know. I don't want to hear about your personal problems. You are hereby terminated.
Kids, would you please tell your daddy that he's still fired?
You are a problem.
Bottom line is, guys, my decision, it's final. Leave the belt here or you'll be in breach of contract.
President of Turner Sports, Dr. Harvey Schiller, had seen enough.
As of right now, you're suspended.
But Bischoff was still influential. He signed Bret Hart to a lucrative contract, thinking he was going to join the NWO. But Hart was there when Bischoff agreed to wrestle Larry Zbysko for control of Nitro. 1998 was the year of Bischoff's rampant abuse of power. In April, a disagreement with him and Ric Flair resulted in a lengthy and public legal battle. He developed his own talk show on Nitro, took over The Tonight Show with Jay Leno, and faced off against Leno in a tag match at Road Wild. Later, with fan support in Flair's favor, Rick returned to TV, but Bischoff still refused him a chance to get in the ring.
I am the boss.
Finally, it was settled that the two would wrestle for control of WCW. At Starrcade, Bischoff won. But Ric Flair secured a return match the next night.
What a moment!
I think we've got a new boss! He's out of power!
He's giving up!
He's done! He's done!
Ric Flair has won!
You're going to be here. Flair's reign saw Bischoff do many odd jobs, none of which he did very well, and many he purposely used in helping Hogan and his friends in the NWO. But my, how things change. Flair's new power went to his head.
I am Ric Flair, the President of the United States.
No.
WCW.
Bischoff, still holding influence within WCW, stayed in the background, allowing a mentally unstable Flair to run down WCW. Bischoff was there to support Hogan during his recent injury and surgery.
You mean too much to the company, you mean too much to this industry, you've got too big of a future ahead of you to risk it on a bad wheel. Don't do it. It's a mistake. I know when I'm right, Hollywood, this time I know I'm right.
But it was at Slamboree that he made two decisions that shocked and confused the world.
Everybody here knows, that piece of garbage knows, you won this match.
And this match will continue if Ted Turner or Harvey Schiller or Steve Heyer or anybody else doesn't like it. Have them call me on Monday. This match continues to the finish.
All right, you got it.
Wow. That's it.
Why?
I did what I felt was right. Was it official? Was I operating in an official capacity? I don't think at that point I really gave that much consideration. Quite frankly, I did what I thought I needed to do. Kevin Nash is and deserves to be the WCW World Heavyweight Champion.
Bischoff has asked for another chance from fans and wrestlers. His list of accomplishments is long. The formation of a cruiserweight division. A vast array of celebrities getting involved and excited about WCW. And new international stars from all over participating in matches. However, still fresh in the fans' minds is the rampant corruption and ego that have marked his career over the past 2 years. Should we give Bischoff another chance? Before we decide, maybe we should listen to the words of Bischoff himself.
I've screwed up, I've made mistakes, and I apologize to you, and I apologize to everybody out here for it. Judge me by what I do, not by what I say. That's all I ask.
If you've experienced a loss of motivation, energy, or sex drive, or if you're noticing that you're a little softer around the middle than you used to be, it could be your testosterone levels have dropped. By the time men reach the age of 30, in most cases, their T levels have started to decline, and low T can lead to a loss of muscle mass, depression, lack of energy, and a low sex drive. The good news is now you have your remedy with Test X9. This stuff is the real deal, guys. This formula has 9 clinically proven ingredients to naturally boost your body's own testosterone production. Experience increases in strength, energy, and sex drive, as well as improved mood and well-being. Feedback has been awesome. Guys in their 30s and 40s have reported waking up with the quote-unquote morning wood for the first time since they were teenagers. If you want to take it to the next level, you can maximize your results with the ultimate
Test Stack, which combines the Test X9 with the T-Assist, an estrogen control and liver support blend, and Recovery PM, an amazing sleep aid that has had incredible feedback for helping people to get the best sleep they've ever had without feeling groggy that next day. You'll be amazed with the effect of raising your T levels and improving your sleep will have on your overall performance and well-being. Don't settle for average. Man up at LegacySupps.com. That is LegacySupps.com. And use the promo code Sullivan for an additional 10% off your entire order. That's LegacySupps.com. And use that promo code Sullivan for 10% off your entire order for the best health and workout supplements out there. This is Pro Wrestler approved. Three, two, one. Happy New Year from our friends over at Manscaped. The ball has officially dropped, but that doesn't mean you have to drop the ball on your balls in 2023. Whether you had a New Year's kiss or not, the leaders in below-the-waist grooming have you covered for your much-needed resolution of bringing sexy back. So join the 7 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with our exclusive offer. Go to manscaped.com and use the promo code Sullivan20 for 20% off plus free shipping. Let us have a toast for a new year, new you, and a new you with no pubes. To complete the set, Manscaped threw in the Shed travel bag and anti-chafing boxers as free gifts to give to you to keep all your goodies stored nice and comfortably to go along with the Performance Package 4.0. Inside that Performance Package 4.0, you'll find the signature Lawnmower 4.0. The advanced skin-safe technology reduces cuts and nicks on your delicate parts. It also comes equipped with a 4000K LED spotlight that will shine a light to the promised land 2023 looks to be. Cheers to new balls in 2023. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code Sullivan20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use that promo code Sullivan20. Time to feel sexy and free this 2023 with Manscaped. Please welcome in our new sponsor, Fishing Clash. Download Fishing Clash for free right now on your mobile phone by typing in Fishing Clash in the search bar of your Google Play or App Store. Open the menu in the top right-hand corner, choose the gift code section, and input my special code Taskmaster to get an awesome reward for a total value of $20. Enjoy chilling atmosphere after a hard-working day. Get familiar with different types of fish species and their habits. You can choose one or two, or you know what you like the most. Explore amazing fishing spots worldwide from Florida to Kamchatka. Whether you prefer fly fishing, ice fishing, trolling, you'll admire the look of all the fishing spots available in this game. This game will help you remember how you went fishing with your dad when you were a kid. So download Fishing Clash today for free on your mobile phone by typing in Fishing Clash in the search bar of the Google Play or App Store. Open the menu in the top right-hand corner, choose gift code section, and input the special code Taskmaster to get a total value of $20. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the Fishing Clash, as it is a great casual time killer.